What's good, everyone? It's Gavin or Tweak.
What's good? What's good? What's good? It's Marcus or Pink.
What up? What up? It's Charles or Chuck.
You got Matt or Has. Tweak Talks, episode 190 coming at you. We had the pre-talk before the show. 190 is insane, by the way. Can we just get that out of the way real quick? I don't know what we're going to do for episode 200. We got to do something special. Leave a comment below chat. Say what you want to see. Any special guests, perhaps? It's been a while since we did a guest. We're trying to find a good one, so let us know. Any good suggestions? We're here for chat. Now, this weekend, chock full of a lot of Smash Ultimate action. Gavin has been reacquainted with one of his former true dual mains. We're going to talk about the Kongs quite a bit, I think, on this podcast. And we're going to go around the horn and talk about, there were several tournaments this weekend, and I think we all kind of had different levels of investment in different ones. So I think we're all going to do our normal around the horn and then around the horn for what we watched and what we liked over the weekend and just kind of check in with where we are in Smash Ultimate these days. What do you think of that, Pink?
That's pretty good. Thanks, that's man. Pretty good. I got to give it up.
Pink said I couldn't do a good job, so.
I didn't say that. That's what you took from what I said. But hey,
it is. Yeah, I'm sensitive, so let's get into it.
I watched mostly Delta, and my biggest takeaway was I really enjoyed watching Yara play. It's been a while, and he good.
He's still nice.
He is very, very good. He just plays. It's like butter, bro. He's smooth. And I like watching players that give off that like smooth vibe. Like, he's just clean with it, bro. I really enjoyed watching him play. He reversed 3-0'd Leia at some point. He was also a player I haven't seen in a little bit. So it's like a nice balance of like Japanese throwbacks and just the current like Mia Shuton type of thing. Ashima was in there. I had a good time watching it. I stayed up really, really late. By the time Mia won winners finals, I will admit, I was like, okay, I'm out. You can kind of break down the outcome after that. And it was 100% what I expected. So, it was a good time. I watched a lot with Haz and Jackal. I love watching Smash with y'all. Me and Jude specifically really liked watching Yara. That was really, really fun.
That character has haunted me since Smash Ultimate's come out. So I didn't enjoy it quite as much, but there is... I appreciate what you... Because we say it about people like Zomba, too, where their game plan, it looks so simple and so easy, but if you try to replicate that game plan against any of those other top-level Japanese players, it's never going to look that same way. And I think you had said at one point, Gavin, it's just the way that... Yara's anti-airs are just so good, and his way of shutting down approaches from the air are just so strong, mixing up between good aerial anti-airs from Fair, mixing it up with... there's Fair right there, as shown. And obviously... Up at a shield, still a really fucking good option in 2025, man. Like, I don't care what year it is. It's still a great move. So it was just really great to see. And I do think Samus is one of those characters that the game plan, it's right there. Like, especially ledge trapping. I feel like that's really where the character shines and where you can kind of see, like, the just how good charge shot is and how good the character would be at the ledge. So obviously beating my guy, Ashimo, right there. But what a start to kind of have a comeback. I think Yara was in school is what I read or kind of just
take
a
break from the game.
Yeah.
So it's been a while.
Good to see a familiar face come back. Probably not a coincidence that it's right around the time that, you know, Kagaribi is really heating up. So I don't know if Yara, I know they're having some problems with registration there, like too many people registered, which is like a good problem to have. But then you also don't want the bracket to be full of DQs. So y'all take care of your business. If you can't make it, please DQ or get off of the bracket, however you need to. So people like Yara or other players, whoever's going over there, can do it because we're looking at the best ultimate bracket of all time with that tournament. But Back to Yara, though, Gavin. Yeah, I agree. It was good. It was kind of refreshing to see Samus play it. I feel like we haven't... Obviously, we've seen Samus quite a bit, but it's been a while since we've seen Yara.
Yeah. His beer verses and wave bounces are very deliberate, which is always nice to see. I just, like... So, I don't know how to get into this, but I feel like Melee has... Like, when it comes to, like, the... mechanics that are unique to Melee and specific to that, like, you know, wave dashing, you know, L cancel, like all the other specific melee tech. Like it has a very good, like, I don't know how to explain, like a positive reception. People are very nostalgic for it, like all that good stuff. Like, bro, I want people to appreciate the mechanics Brawl introduced more often and like louder. Cause like, for the same reasons people love Melee the most are the same reasons I love like Brawl to Ultimate the most, because I think beer versing, wave bouncing, like stuff like that is like the coolest shit ever.
Roaring, like that, that even was introduced that, yeah, in Brawl. Yeah.
You can group that in there too. And I feel like it's a rare thing for people to associate with Ultimate, despite it being like very similar to why people would love Melee, is for those like specifics. And I don't know, I just think about that all the time, where if you ask someone like, oh, why do you play this over Melee, they might not say that, you know what I mean, despite it being like two sides of the same coin in the weirdest way. Like I play Brawl to Ultimate for the movement and that kind of thing. Like that's definitely a big factor. And you would never expect someone to say that, because Melee or something is viewed as like, this is what movement in Smash should be. But to me, like things like beer reversing and wave bouncing and instant turnarounds, like with the RARs, and like even weird stuff like the way tether cancels specifically work in this game, or
slingies, my bad.
You know, yeah, like things like perfect pivoting and slingshotting, like. Perfect pivoting was definitely always an option, but the applications kind of become a separate thing. But yeah, I don't know where I'm going with this, and it's kind of random and not wasn't in the schedule, but I just wish there was more of a similar like stigma around those mechanics, because it's so similar to the reasons why people love games like Melee or Rivals or anything like that. Yeah, it doesn't get the same exact reception, or like it's so unique and cool, and like I think we're just so used to seeing it that we don't like hype it up or something. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair.
Shouting out Footstool too, right? Like Footstool was a mechanic,
dude. All these things are so cool. Like I can't play Smash without that. You know what I mean? Like I and it's the I'm saying the same type of verbiage that a Melee player would be saying about their mechanics, and you just don't hear that as often, and I feel like you very easily could.
Yeah, I think too, like there is, especially because we're all in that same bracket of we went from playing Melee to playing Brawl, and then in Brawl there was that whole, as there is in every Smash game, that discovery period, right, where you try to figure out exactly what's the tech, how do I get an advantage over other people, and so much of that did spawn from the Melee culture of wave dashing, all that crouch canceling, like all that stuff is such a core part of that engine, that when we move from Melee to Brawl, everyone tried I don't know, I still do it in every game that I play. I try to wave dash in every game that I try to play, just cause I don't know, it's like such an innate thing. But I think like because Brawl, since in the game they tried to go out of their way to take out all that quote unquote cool stuff, the way it got socialized and talked about now is completely changed. And I totally agree with you, Gavin. And I think a part of it is it's not as apparent to like a viewer where it's like, whoa, that's not how you normally move in Melee. Like that's what wave dashing, whatever, all that stuff looks like. Whereas in Ultimate, it could get overlooked, I would say. Yeah. But I agree with what you're saying, where it should be called out more, it should be appreciated more, because when tech is not as apparent, it doesn't mean that it's not impactful. And it makes such a big difference. And when you need to... That's like top level player stuff where you're like, I need every advantage I can so I don't get hit with this random upset by somebody, or I can cause this big upset because they've never seen this movement or this tech. And maybe it is just a very slight thing, but if it throws off what they're expecting, then that can make the difference in a set or a stock or a hit or whatever, man.
Yeah.
So I do really appreciate what you're saying. And I do think a lot of it does come down to like a cultural aspect of it. It's not quite the same. Like, dude, well, like Dacus, bro, when I saw Dacus for the first time, I was like, oh shit, I need to learn how to do this. I can zoom across the stage. That's so broken. And like, it's still a good technique, but it's not as broken as it like appears, you know, initially. Yeah. But
that is my wave dashing. Like beer reversing and wave bouncing, that is my wave dashing. A landing, like that is my wave landing. Like, and you just don't, like you, I think it's a really like well said from you that like just when and where it was introduced kind of just changed things socially, despite, like I'm trying to say, like two sides of the same coin, and you know, they get jobs done in similar ways and add a lot for expression and creativity. And I don't know, it just randomly came to my head that it just, I don't know. I obviously, like, my specific age definitely lines up with this thinking. Like, I grew up with Brawl mechanically, and you know, I like what you said about, like, every game you play, you're gonna try to wave dash in it. Like, you know, it's kind of silly. But at the time when Smash for Wii U was, like, the big deal, and it's like what we were playing, if I played a game on the side, I would try to, like, perfect pivot. It's like a single player game.
Yep.
Like, it's just, like, mechanically just, like, in our brains.
And hey, in between stocks, everyone was throwing out some perfect pivots. Hey, man, yeah. You got a couple seconds to lab? Just a quick lab session?
I was a shield dropper in between.
Ooh, yeah, another flex.
I love shield dropping in Smash 4, dude.
You gotta let them know.
So cool.
I got a charge limiter punch. I'm sorry.
What's that?
I got a charge limiter punch. I don't got anything.
Oh, yeah. You could do, if it was already charged though, you could do, oh, Cloud's Limit, perfect pivot. Oh my god.
Oh god.
Zoom, dude.
So good.
There's just certain things that, like, players of characters, like, inherently do in between stocks. Like, Wario players just fast fall up air.
The clap.
Like, psh, psh, psh. Like,
tell them no. Yeah.
It's funny because you would think we all got together and was like, all right, this is what we're gonna do. But, like, there's no talk of it. Like,
dude, he shakes the whole screen when he does it. It's so annoying, man. Like, I love Wario. I'm just like, like, I watch Gluto play. I'm like, dude, why does that happen? Like, what
it's is so
that?
Violent.
Yes.
Stuff like that is interesting. Like, it is, like, part of the culture where, like, it's like, hey, why are you wavelanding in between stocks? No one's going to have an answer. It's like,
just feels right.
I'm just doing it.
Why not? Yeah.
That shit looks cool, man. Actually, because you're kind of throwing, because that means your next air dodge is technically going to have less invincibility. So, like,
yeah, but
you're actually – well, right. I'm saying you are sacrificing technically something. You are sacrificing invulnerability.
I think you could argue that they're not sacrificing anything if they didn't do it as preemptively. If they did it as the opponent was actually respawning, then you're actually, like, moving.
I don't know the respawn rate. Yeah, I don't know, like, how fast you get it back or whatever. So
so, like, people are wavelanding while they're being KO'd, which is useless. But if you start wavelanding when they're respawned and, like, on the platform, now you're actively trying to deal with the invincibility, and it makes sense. But the reason people do it poorly is because they're doing it before anything, before their opponent's even able to deal with it. Then it's definitely a waste. Even then, I would still argue against doing it in general because of what you said.
And this is actually a topic that I'm very fond of, just because there's so much identity per game. Because even when I think back to Smash 4, you got perfect pivots, and I think even just Brawl and Smash 4, one thing that I like as someone who's played all the, like, those games competitively, Brawl, Smash 4, and Ultimate, is it just felt like there was so much more skill expression in the older games, just because there was more tech. So, for example, if I'm fighting someone that usually goes, like, 0-2 or 2-2 in tournament, I could clearly tell someone's skill level at the beginning of the match within 5 to 10 seconds and just looking at their movement. I can't do that in Ultimate. And I'm not saying that makes Ultimate a bad game, but there was just way more skill expression in the way you moved, because it was mixing basic movement with tech and just character-specific stuff, especially, like, Brawl had so much character-specific tech as well. But even, like, I think they did a good job of keeping certain things in Ultimate, because even how you comboed in Smash 4, a lot of it was when you got really high up there. I mean, like, Bayo didn't have too much of this crazy stuff, but a lot of characters had footstool combos, and it was the reason why they're relevant. Things like characters like Falcon and, you know, Fatality having, like, the crazy run in Civil War because he was doing the footstool stomp loops and stuff like that in the knee. There was a lot of Greninja was super potential tier because Greninja could infinite you and then, you know, do the whole loop with the footstool and then using the shuriken to stall. And you would do these loops because you couldn't tech a footstool. I think going forward for the game's health, it is a better decision to do that. I think it's harder to balance the game around a non-techable footstool because you have to really watch out what you can combo in the footstool, right? Because if you can, especially at lower percents, there's no DI influence. This is why these combos were so impactful and they could do so much, is because your opponent didn't really have any SDI, right? Especially if it's just a single hit move with just, you know, at lower percents, you can't really affect too far where you go. Yeah. So that, like, watching top level Smash 4 at later on, it looked so much different than the earlier parts. And you could kind of say the same thing about Ultimate, but I would say the general flow of the game is pretty similar and you don't see too much tech. Like, and I feel like even the players in the community that are more veterans, they'll even overhype certain things. And I, you know, I've been there, like IDJ came out and IDJ is important and slingshotting is important, but it's like, to me, it's only a handful of characters or like maybe even decent group of characters with like Flickshot and Slingshot where you incorporate into their movement, right? Is your character like floaty? Like, I don't feel like Fox is very good with Flickshot or Slingshot, right? Like, but a character like Wolf, very good. Characters that have a lot of air mobility, air drift, like a Wario or something like that, or even characters that want to retreat but looking forward, someone like a Lucina or anything like that. You have a Disjoint and you kind of want to back up. It's like an aerial perfect pivot is like the way I like to explain it. So
yeah,
it just felt like these games had so much more identity, and it was a lot more clear when there was a skill gap just because you had to grind tech. But I understand that we're moving into a world where we want to make the game more accessible, so they kind of even the playing field, right? Like, a lot of things got universalized in Ultimate, things like jump squat, things like that, right? And I think they've done a good job of making it accessible, but they also keep little pieces of tech that they didn't take away. Like sliding off the edge, like edge canceling, I think is like one of the coolest things ever in Smash, period. In any Smash game, it's just amazing to do that. It feels so good. And it's just being able to cancel the lag. It almost feels like you're cheating a little bit, right? Like, oh, okay, this should have lag, but it doesn't. And I get to go into like another swing or something like that. So things like that they've kept. So they're still not all not as much moves as before. And you used to be able to edge cancel off of a bunch of other things, but you can still do it in Ultimate. And there's still, like, to me, the shout out to Smash 4 in Ultimate is the fact that there's still drag down combos. So in Smash 4, multi-hits, there's like a magnet in the middle. That's how I like to explain it. There's a magnet in the middle of your multi-hits. And if you move the multi-hit hitbox away from your opponent's hurtbox, it'll actually still kind of magnet them in towards you. So you can manipulate that hitbox by fast falling it and kind of dragging your opponent down into a tech chase or an offstage situation where you just drag them down. Obviously, things like Fair Footstool aren't, you know, Fox's Fair Footstool was a true combo. You died at any percent in Smash 4. So they toned it down with that kinds of stuff. It's like things comboing after that. But I like the whole tech chase scenario. And we see a lot of people use drag down combos for a lot of different characters. So yeah, I like that there's still pieces of tech, but they had to take most of it away just to make the game more accessible, which I completely understand. But yeah, that is my tech rant.
I was going to say too about tech, Charles, is like, if you think about, you know, normalizing or like kind of the removal of tech in the later games after Melee is a game that is so, so defined by its tech. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like playing Melee at a top level, like even people who play Ultimate, like kind of casually and want to get into it, competitively, like they might not be able to pick up on nuanced things like be reversing and all that good stuff or ledge slipping or anything like that, but they can, you know, trace and follow the game 99% of the way or whatever, 90% of the way or something like that. What, Marcus?
Gavin's keyboard.
Oh, killer. He's BRB. Anyway, but with Melee, it's like, every character lives and dies by those techs. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't matter if you play, like, I think a big part is the gaps between the characters too. Whereas like Ultimate, Smash 4, those games are more about like raw character, like the ratio of character knowledge and skill versus tech skill and all that. I feel like the gap is bigger in Melee. Like, cause the, you know what I mean?
Oh, because for sure. Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like, does that make sense? Yeah. I know what I'm saying makes sense. I just don't know if I'm saying it correctly. I need ChatGPT or something.
How impactful tech is per Smash game, it's definitely like Melee's the farthest. I mean, you might be able to argue 64, and I just bring 64 in because I just don't have that much knowledge of the game. But I have no idea, actually. But like, for someone who doesn't know much about 64, and I know more about like Melee onward, I would say Melee has the most impact when it comes to your tech skill onto the game. Like, you can out tech someone and they could be like the quote unquote smarter or more experienced player, like Smash wise, I guess. I know these are super broad terms, but you can out, essentially, like, the chances of you out handsing someone just because you have more tech skill is a lot more likely in Melee. Not to say, like, at top level you need everything, obviously, right?
You so, still
like,
need to
but at lower levels again, that happens.
It's still a game too where the matchups are so perfected because there are only 10-ish matchups you really, really quote-unquote need to know. So to me, like, again, to me, it's like a cultural thing. Whereas, like, I don't know,
bro,
like
it's Third Strike compared to every other Street Fighter afterward.
Oh, now he's talking about language. Okay,
it is though. That's what I think about a lot of times. I'm like, I always say Third Strike is the Melee of the Street Fighter series. There are people who are always going to play it.
Did you get that from me?
No.
I've always said that too. What the heck?
Wait, really?
Yes, all the time, dude.
Oh, that's really funny.
And I would say one of the main differences is that Capcom supported and fleshed out the competitive scene in Street Fighter, so everyone moved to 4. Whereas it did not happen with Melee, and like Nintendo wanted everyone to go to Brawl, and it's like we're not going to because we like this game better. Like there's a timeline out there where the opposite happened, and Third Strike is like Melee. And whatever. That's funny. I didn't know you said that too.
Dude, there's so many games.
It kind of is. It like in the legacy sense, co-op cup happens every year. I'm a podcast for some co-op cup. Cool. But there are still a ton of people who play that game. There are people who enter tournaments for that game. And you're not gonna see you never hear about the small Melee locals. Nobody's talking about Melee locals. Like, when you talk about Melee, you're talking about the big regionals or the Genesises or whatever that happen. But then they move on to what the game is now, which is really funny because have y'all seen that thing on Twitter about Street Fighter VI? It's like or Street Fighter V, like people are going back to Street Fighter V and they're like, no throw loops, no.
Way.
You don't know how good we had it. And people are doing it for Smash 4.
Smash 4 is so funny, dude. Great so tweet, funny. Whoever that was.
Yeah.
I've been waiting for the Street Fighter V nostalgia. I've been waiting.
No.
It's dude, weird how long it took.
That's because they're doing a good job, good enough job with 6, yeah, I think. Especially given what's going on with Tekken, I feel like the grass could always be.
Oh, I heard Tekken season.
I love Street Fighter 5.
Oh, God. Dude, Gavin always believed in Street Fighter 5. He always believed.
It's one of your worst.
Comes crawling back, Gavin. All the Street Fighter 6 players coming back to Street Fighter 5 because they know.
I just like Seth, so I'm like, it doesn't even matter. But
why don't you play 4?
Goodness.
Yo, 4 was raw.
I was like,
4 was fucking raw.
I was very young.
You might have been like 3.
You have like how I have Third Strike nostalgia. You have that for Street Fighter. It was like your first Street Fighter you got into and all that shit. Yeah.
I got into it after it was like not as dull either. Cause like the base game was terrible.
It was bad, yeah.
It was rough.
Yeah.
Like it I got really into it when it had like a lot of stuff and it was still getting stuff. So like,
yeah,
you know, it was just good timing and I just have fond memories and I like 6. I like the direction they seem to have went with. At the base of the game, like the art style and the vibe, it feels like Third Strike almost. And I like the modern attempt on it, but I think their roster selection and like guest characters, I think it's fucking terrible. Roster is significantly worse than 5. I don't know why we have to add Terry and Mai. I don't like. It's bad.
Fair. I think the double dip.
I want Street Fighter. I don't want these guest characters when there's no Street Fighter yet.
I low key blame Smash for that just a little bit.
Me too. The culture has gotten very weird
about crossovers.
Fortnite,
Naldo, ma.
And Smash.
Hey,
and
like, that is very straight. Bro, he is lit, though. Goodness gracious, that boy be mixing.
That game is... Have you seen that, Gavin? Have you kept up with King of Fighters?
Yeah.
What?
What the fuck is going on, bro? What the
fuck? Just putting dudes in the game. Like,
if
just
you
dudes.
Be like,
real life dudes.
Just dudes, yeah. Maybe
if
we want to
be real. And we look at sales. Like, so if we look at Smash, it's like a 35 million plus thing. And then we look at Street Fighter, which might not even Street Fighter 6 might not even have 5 million sales. And then we look at games that are smaller than Street Fighter. It's like, what do we have to do to capitalize as much as possible? And it makes sense, right? Like collabing with just large influences. Like I get it. But the culture is weird. And it reminds me of my most recent stream. Where, you know, it always turns into Smash speculation at some point, if not just the whole time.
Back at it again. Bro.
So, and there was someone in the chat and this is no shade to them. I actually really enjoyed talking to them, but they just wanted third party characters exclusively. Like, it's all they asked for. And I made like kind of a lighthearted joke saying, you can request this if you list me a handful of first party reps you think should be added. And they couldn't think of anything, bro. They literally asked if Sonic was first party.
Dude, but fake Nintendo fan.
All the good first party characters have already been added, true?
That's what those people say. You know what I mean? Like, I think
we don't need Waluigi. That's ridiculous.
I think people are so desensitized to crazy / third party additions to their games that now the third party additions are starting to like suck, or like the guest characters are starting to like be like artificial or like not genuine.
Go ahead.
The culture is just weird. Something is changed, and it's like we're flying too close to the sun now, where you start looking at the product and it's like, okay, what am I even doing anymore? And yeah, things can lose their identity really quickly with stuff like this.
I think too, like what we're dealing with is it's a couple generations of people who were never there in the before times. Like when Snake and Sonic got announced for Brawl, that something really shifted. Yeah. Like that was crazy because we had Marcus is killing me right now.
Dude, it's funny, man.
Like, yeah, it's true. Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, it's ridiculous. But so then it just like compounds upon itself. At some point, Gavin, I guarantee you what's going to happen is people are going to take that and be like, man, I kind of wish it was just.
Yes, it's already happening in our field, like with Smash. Like,
is it?
People are asking for like a backtrack and to be more.
I think eventually you think that's happening. You're closer to this than me. You think that's happening already?
The reboot idea that a lot of people have, I think, does align more with that request of like more. I want it to be pure and more of a first party experience and like back to the roots. Like a lot of people do ask for that. Maybe they don't. Maybe it's not exactly the same, but I think it's getting to what you're suggesting.
Let me propose a question to you. If you polled, like, I don't even want to say competitive Smashers, but like 10,000 people who have played Smash, and you said, who's the next character you want in the game? Do you think most of them would be first party or third party at this point?
That's a really good question. It feels like
third.
I think it would be third party. And I think that is a concern culturally.
Is that ever going to change, though?
Like, and for the identity. Well, this I guess it's different because you're asking for like one thing, right? And it's not like like a lot of these people would still probably have first party ideas and things they would be satisfied with. But I don't know. I think a lot of people, when they request third party stuff or like really crazy guest characters, a lot of the time it does come from people that aren't really big on video games. Maybe they play like multiplayer online games, or maybe they're not big on Nintendo, but Smash has transcended Nintendo, and it just, I think it gets weird because it's like, is the consumer losing the identity of Smash? Is Smash losing its identity itself? Is it both? I think it should be concerning for people. And I think the Fatal Fury stuff is, it's like just shooting like a huge steroid, like just going from like 0 to 100 with the guest character immediately to really shoot for the stars from the get-go on release, like type of thing. And it is clearly a little artificial, even if it is like fun or interesting. Like, it's weird. It's fucking weird. But like I said, like, it's a fighting game and they're so limited. Like I said, like within our own space, we view Street Fighter as this like pinnacle. But compared to like plenty of video games, it doesn't sell too well. And then, like I said, the games that sell less than that, like, I guess, of course, they got to do something like this to get somewhere, right?
I guess, like, something that probably would help you, maybe you probably already thought of this, but we haven't said it yet today, but it's kind of the opposite for Smash. Smash, I don't want to say, doesn't need these big games or these things to promote itself. It's going to do great no matter what, whereas... Yeah. Things like Street Fighter, you know, they're looking for, it's more like a mutual helping type deal. Yeah. Whereas with Smash, I feel like the person who joins Smash, that IP gains more than Smash does. not necessarily though, like Minecraft, what that might have been more in the favor of Smash, right? Like it,
yeah.
It's kind of insane. I don't know. It damn. You be thinking about this shit, Gavin. That's well, for sure. That is more thought than I had put into it.
I guess yet. It also kind of depends on how many characters are like in the game. Because I think at this point, more people are probably going to want a third party character because there's already roughly 75, 80 Nintendo reps, first party characters. But if you size down the roster to like a Melee, maybe slight, or even a Brawl size roster, and you ask someone which one they would prefer, like a first party or third party, it might be a 50-50 split, honestly.
No, that's the thing. I think a lot of people who ask for a reboot are also still want the big news. So then it gets weird. My philosophy has always been, if it's a Melee sized roster and you're asking for crazy guest characters and you're looking at a roster of Mario and Luigi and it jumps to Master Chief, it doesn't look good anymore. It's really weird. So the third party reps work when the game is as big as it is and the occasional third party thing actually can kind of blend in a bit better. But when I look at something like Street Fighter 6 and it's missing so much of its core, and then it adds like multiple guests in a row.
Wait, I don't think Street Fighter's it has the core 8. What are you talking about?
I know, but like
you want to have, that's the problem.
I would still rather see
other Street Fighter characters get into this.
There's a lot of Street Fighter characters missing.
Because that's what these fighting games have been doing. They make it a smaller package with a battle pass, and they work towards something, and then it's dull for a little bit, and then there's a guest character. And it just feels so artificial, and because of these things happening, and I'm not saying the games are doing poorly. They're not doing poorly. But when people start looking at Smash to emulate this sort of process, they're not realizing that you're comparing things that can't be compared. And like Smash doesn't have to do this. It doesn't need a battle pass or to cut its roster, or like it just doesn't, it doesn't make as much sense. And then people will say, oh, but Pokemon cuts Pokemon from their games. And it's like, are you really trying to say that's the same thing as like Smash potentially cutting their roster? Like, this is a long conversation. Yeah, this is a long conversation.
What's wrong with your chat?
Hey, this is the YouTube comments, but
hey, those are the goats. Hold on.
I want to make some quick parallels. So Pink was talking about like the Melee version of certain games. Dude, I feel like there's so many IPs that have their quote unquote Melee.
Oh yes, absolutely.
Right? Okay, so like let's go all of them off the top of our heads that we can think of. So right off the rip, StarCraft Brood War is the Melee of StarCraft, right? Hands down.
Okay.
I mean, if you're right, sure. Right. Okay. So Gavin's not going to know. He doesn't. He's too young. Halo 2 was the Melee of Halo. Thoughts? Halo 2 had like the fucking double shot, quad shot. It had to my knowledge, had the most tech.
Yes.
Yes.
Bumper jump.
MVC 2.
Yes. And then Oh, wait, so you
think? No, Marvel's it might be Capcom? 3, bro.
It's 3.
It's 2 man. Or 3.
So I don't know
it's
enough
three.
About
because it. What? Hold on, I'm trying to think. What's after 3? Infinite?
Infinite. Yeah. It's cooked don't after say that. 3. It's cooked after.
No, it's not Infinite. I feel like
it's Ultimate 3.
It's between 2 and 3, yeah. And then if you want to get more specific, Ultimate 3, yeah.
It's not 2.
Street Fighter is Third Strike.
Street Fighter is Third Strike. Okay.
Cuz more people no one plays Infinite, but everyone plays 3 still. And 3 has the tech, it has the culture, it has everything. It's 3.
Call of Duty is Modern Warfare 2. 2
also has the tech and the culture. And people started picking up 2 again because it got put in the
RPG. This is a spicy topic.
Modern Warfare 2. A lot of
people are playing 2.
Oh, okay. COD?
Modern Warfare 2 is definitely.
Agreed. Lock it in.
Modern Warfare 2.
I'm not sure if it's 2 or 3. I'm genuinely thinking about that.
For Marvel?
Yeah.
Okay.
The Marvel one's a debatable one. What's another like? It has like, a pretty close contenders.
I feel like 2 had a lot of.
What are games I like?
I was gonna ask Kaz about World of Warcraft. Which World of Warcraft expansion he thinks is like the Melee?
I think he might be having 3. Internet issues or something.
3.
The third World of Warcraft.
Oh, World of Warcraft. I thought you said Warcraft. My bad. I
thought. Oh, you said Warcraft. Warcraft 3.
Warcraft. Yeah, 3. My bad.
Yeah, 3 would definitely be. So, okay, Has, real quick. Warcraft, the RTS, would it be Warcraft 3 probably, right? Warcraft 3, the expansion? I haven't.
Oh. Oh, he might actually be having internet issues.
Oh, he's lagging. Oh, I thought I was lagging because he froze. No. I thought it was.
I thought he was like leaving intentionally, like at the beginning, but maybe he's actually having internet issues.
Oh, okay. Hold up. Pokemon game. That's the melee.
See, that's when so you get hard. The single player.
See, it's that's hard.
It's too hard, right? There's not tech, right?
I was thinking like Zelda, Pokemon.
No,
angles,
you can't
and I'm
do
just one like,
player.
I don't.
Bro, like it, hold on. But just curious, if you were to pick a Pokemon one,
I don't know what like the melee of Pokemon games. Like, it doesn't even make sense to me. Like, I can't.
Yeah,
even
it doesn't make sense.
It just doesn't make sense because
it's not a thing.
For 3D Mario, it's 64.
Yeah, it's Emerald.
Mario, it's Mario 64. Just the whole speedrunning community.
Well, see, at least that makes sense because there's more tech.
It's like weirdly become a multiplayer thing, so.
Yeah,
and there's like races and stuff. And
Mario Kart. What's the melee of Mario Kart?
Double dash.
It's Wii.
I hope my internet doesn't go out again. It's Wii. They still play it in all the tech, yeah.
All right. We need chat's opinion on this too. So
we do.
I know this one is
no,
spicy.
Not for Mario Kart. We don't. They know
the melee.
Not for Mario Kart.
The melee of Mario.
We don't. I agree.
It's Wii 1 million, Marcus. It's okay that you just didn't know. It's okay.
Yeah, Marcus. It's not a big deal.
What if I just like the special fucking items that come through Double Dash, man?
I love
that's
Double
fine.
Dash.
You
it's
can be quirky.
Melee,
that shit is so fucking cool.
You can be quirky, but it's not melee.
Quick. Let's set the stage real quick. By the melee of that game, you mean it's like it's got a cult following, it's love for its tech, its culture, and like all that stuff, right? Like
it's
that,
melee.
Yeah, it's melee.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying.
Duh.
Oh, also, my internet has been cut out.
For the viewers, for the viewers.
Yeah, it's been cut out.
For the viewers that didn't know. Oh my God, this is crazy.
Charles, for WoW, it's vanilla.
Is it BC? Is it vanilla?
It's just vanilla.
Because I know the retro like WoW community more, or you've gone through like the different replay or I don't know what they're called, classic versions, right?
Yeah, all the expansions. It's vanilla for sure, no question.
It's vanilla.
It's the one that people play the most and talk about the most and all that shit. Like people like TBC and Wrath a lot. Wrath is like second though. I would say Wrath is close, but it's not TBC.
In my heart, it's TBC. Like my personal favorite was TBC.
I'm with
so,
you,
like,
dude.
I want that to be the melee of World of Warcraft, but if
it's not, sorry,
if it's Wrath vanilla, I respect it.
Wrath also had like the best arenas and like all that other shit. So I think you could argue it's Wrath or vanilla. I'd say it's vanilla though. Like the amount of people that just play
and I'm assuming we're looking more through a PvE perspective because that's what the game's more known for. I guess both. Yeah. I mean, PvP was kind of whack in vanilla. No.
Oh yeah,
like the whole like I have to, my account has to be playing 24/7 to hit Warlord. That was pretty whack.
True, they did fix that recently though. True. Anyway,
okay.
All right,
okay.
Enough about WoW. These guys can't participate. well, it's like Yu-Gi-Oh has like GOAT format or whatever, right? Or would it be Edison? Is that like the that's
melee? That would be the melee. I would say Edison is the melee of. Damn, that's hard. I would say
it's not.
I'm pretty sure it's
not.
It's definitely no GOAT.
GOAT's like the 64, right?
GOATs, dude.
Yeah, sure. That shit is trash.
The staples are ass, bro. If you like Yu-Gi-Oh and you're listening to this right now, I'm sorry, but if I'm looking across the table, and if I just lose to Delinquent Duel, Pot of Greed, or Graceful Charity, I don't think you're good. You just got those cards, and I didn't. I don't want to play a format that's based off of who gets which one of these three cards. Like, as much I am a Pot of Greed enjoyer, don't get me wrong. Do not get me wrong. I love playing Pot of Greed and setting my Magician of Faith, and it's like, okay, GG's, I win.
What games did you guys
do? T-set. Fun.
When my internet cut out, what games do you guys do? I want to weigh in. Besides
the Mario Kart. The Mario Kart one was important.
I think
3D Mario was 64.
I think we did Warcraft 3.
Wait,
no,
3D
more
Mario
games
might, you know, 3D,
or IPs we could do this for.
3D Mario cool. might be Sunshine.
Don't
bro.
Say Sunshine.
Oh,
not yeah. culturally
a
like,
Sunshine believer.
I might,
does
it
Sunshine
might
be, have
for
tech?
The melee.
Yes,
Sunshine has more.
Well,
tech
I don't know about support. More tech, but it has a lot, dude. That's a hard game,
dude. The way the community feels about Mario 64, it's the melee of that thing.
Yeah,
like, it might even
it does,
be the
it
melee
does have,
of
yeah.
speedrunning in general.
There's
might,
like this.
It might be more than Mario. It might be a melee of speedrunning.
Dude, I guess that's a good point too. Like these romanticized like storylines and like this epic kind of feeling to it. That's a good point.
Yes.
Damn, it might be Wrath then, Charles. Shit.
Well, because here's another thing that when I think of melee as well, it's just like the whole God storyline that when it happened and like the doc that was behind it as well. Those are all things that also make melee even crazier. Like it's lasted for so long. The game is in terms like in terms of the craziest tech skill game, it still has that title, right? And on top of that, it had insane storylines. The storylines are still going. Even some of the gods that were good back then and were gods back then are still can win tournaments now. It is crazy. Fucking crazy in a game that hard.
Maybe it is 64. So yeah, you're right. Dude,
man, the term melee of your game is crazy, though. Like melee of this IP or this game.
But melee is the melee of melee. You know what I'm saying? Like, no
melee, melee is the melee of melee.
You got to give it up, dude.
Yeah.
And we all understood that. That made sense. Unfortunately, that made sense. Damn.
But we love B reversing.
But yeah, back to it. Yeah, what's the brawl?
Oh, yo, what's the brawl? And then what is Sash wearing? Like the dog shit version?
Street Fighter 5 is the brawl.
No. Street Fighter 5 is Smash Bros. Don't disrespect Brawl.
Street Fighter 5 is like Giga Smash 4.
That is hella Smash 4. Don't Street Fighter 4 disrespect Brawl like that.
That shit might be more Smash 4 than Smash 4, bro.
Street Fighter 5 is Smash 4. Now on, we're going to explain all of our opinions through Smash titles. And you guys are, it's on you, the viewers, to understand this.
I think this is the best topic we've ever had.
I can't wait to read the fucking comments this week, especially because Chuck's mic is working. We won't get bogged down with that nonsense.
Oh, true.
God, I like when your mic peaks up.
Like Mario Odyssey, bro, that is the ultimate.
Yes.
Of 3D Mario.
It is, yeah.
Oh, and wait, then, what's the melee of the Donkey Kong series? I know we said single player games are hard. Like, well, there's like the country
series. All right, Gavin, that's all you, bro.
That is you, yeah.
It's DKC2.
That was what came to my mind.
Dang.
Is that the one that speed ran the most?
Speed running? I'm not as knowledgeable. I watch, but I don't know how people feel culturally. The games are a mess. The games are Super Nintendo games. Like, they're broken to all fuck. They're
great.
Yeah, but what about, you can include 64 and stuff in that. You include all the Donkey Kong games. Well,
64 is not the
all right, Gavin. Be honest with me, man. What's Donkey Kong 64? Explain Donkey Kong 64.
I don't
break it down in Smash.
It is
it's
the 64.
It is incomprehensible and doesn't fit a role here.
It's Brawl minus.
Yes. I fucked with that though.
I know, dude.
I fucked with that heavy. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm down. What was the one I was just going to say? Oh, get this one, Gabby. You just play these games. Mega Man X is the melee of Mega Man games.
I can see that already.
1000%, bro. The following, the music, everything.
Not
the speed not running.
Two?
Not no, two? Not X2. No, no, no. Oh, Mega Man 2 is like, that's like,
dude,
the classic.
Mega Man,
like,
dude, Mega Man
but
2
X,
is kind of
but
crazy.
X has the tech. Like, X2 doesn't have, like, I'm sure there's menu tech and, like, whatever, but X, they put the boots on him, bro, and he can fly. Like, damn, man. You get Hadouken, it kills things in one hit. God.
Hadouks? God damn.
You do get Hadouks, dude. I love that game so much. Gavin played that recently. I fucking love that series. I want him in the next
match. I was really good at that
game,
right?
Oh my god, watching him play chat was fucking painful. Like, literally, like, I literally had to close it sometimes. It's not even your fault. Like, it's just, I haven't seen someone play that game for the first time in a really long time, obviously. And I was watching you, and you were like, how do I, my hands hurt playing this game. I was like, oh, fuck. Because I, like, claw it. When I play, I hold my hand in a really weird way.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm not doing that. It fucking hurts. And I was like, oh, true. All right. Well, you're not playing Mega Man X then. I don't know.
What was I going to say? Oh, it is funny because I'm sure we've mentioned this on the podcast before, but I'm not good at single player games. Like, I'm like comically bad, actually.
Horrible at them. Yes.
Yeah. Gavin put all of his stats into Smash. Shit.
Yeah.
Everything, literally everything.
It's kind of endearing.
Smash and COD. Yep.
Oh, and COD.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because what I was gonna get into was, there was a game I played over the last few years that I was like really good at, and it felt so good to be good at something without like trying.
Was it Doom?
It was Doom Eternal.
Right, I got you.
And I was like, oh, I'm so nasty at this game. B's like, B like already really loved the game and played like Doom 2016, Doom Eternal, all the original stuff. And she's watching me play and she's like, wow, like, you're really good at this game. And like, everyone is like, what the heck? Like, that felt good, but that was like the last game in like 3+ years. That I was like good at naturally.
That was also concerning because Doom is like a challenging game, and I already watched you play some other games. I was like, oh, we're gonna be on Doom for like 2 months. Like, this, we're not gonna go anywhere.
Then
you like picked it up real fast. That is true.
Yeah,
it's such a good
sessions
game, were fun. Just like
I was
play
literally like in my head, I was like, this is easier than COD Zombies. Like, this isn't even like harder than that. So,
bro, you would pick up the sniper and it would be GG's. I remember watching it. I'm like, holy shit, those heads are getting clicked.
That's the thing though. Like, FPS games are so like computer only nowadays. Like, even COD Warzone has transitioned to like keyboard mouse a lot. And
wait, oh my god, you're doing that on controller. That's yeah. Oh my god, that's crazy.
And then like I think the most popular thing to do controller on right now is like Apex Legends, I think.
Yeah.
Like, it's the most.
Well, there's pros that have that, they gave so much advantage to controller. Yeah,
you can still do Warzone with controller, but
yeah, there was pros that played keyboard mouse and then they switched to controller. Yeah. But that's why the Switch mouse, bro.
But plus, like, COD is so different than what it used to be anyway, that like I can only be like, I'm like okay at best. And then like, but yeah, there is a new Doom game coming out next month. So
that was a Gavin old really statement. Gavin be making more and more of those. So we don't. Yeah. He don't be hearing it. But
we can have one on Talks next week. That's fine.
I turned. Ooh, okay. I literally turned 27 like a week ago.
And he just started locking in the old.
You statement. Know what? You can join Unk Talks 3 years early, man.
Gavin opened this episode. He's like, you know what's wrong with games today?
Yeah. Back in my day.
Back in my day.
I was gonna mention though, if we look at Mario Kart 8, like the whole melee thing we were doing, which I really loved. Mario Kart 8 is like, here's everything ever, like as many tracks as like over the course of 11 years, albeit, but still, like the base game was not nearly what, you know, it is now. Now it's revered as like, you know, an amazing game. But, and then we look at Mario Kart World, it does really feel like they are backtracking in terms of the vibe. They're not in terms of the content and what's available, but they are backtracking in terms of like the energy the game brings. It's not like multiple things. It's like, this is Mario, but like as much Mario as we can squeeze out of it. And I guess we can start considering what that means for Smash, right? Obviously it makes sense to make the comparison. And now that we have this info in front of us and we have the console, we have games, we have like 12 months worth of like a blueprint here, I would say, we can start speculating on Smash with that knowledge. Because before it was just all raw. Like, we had nothing to work with. We were just doing it. But something that sells even more than Smash in Mario Kart, we can try to find a pattern there and see what that means for Smash. And it's just weird because we've been so used to speculating with nothing. Now that we have something, it feels weirdly harder to speculate Smash now that we have something. It's weird how that works, but I have like less to say now, which is funny because it's here. It's weird.
The interesting thing about Mario Kart, at least, is the title of it, like it being World.
It's like a 12-year-old made the
Smash
Universe title, like that people were making 10-plus years ago. Yeah,
yeah, and it kind of gives me those like Ultimate vibes, where it's like this huge, massive thing.
Yeah.
But what's weird about it is there's other games like that, like Monster Hunter World, but now there's Wild. So I don't know. It's always like interesting to like try to draw comparisons between other things and see how it could turn out. I don't know. I don't know, man. Maybe we might head at Kyle and Smash. Like, you know, hey.
Maybe I'll eat my words with all the things I said weren't going to happen. Everyone's so stupid, blah, 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 about like reboot and everything. But we'll see what they do. I mean, there's also the whole like, we know what. We were throwing the word deluxe around a lot because it's what we knew. There was like a couple games that got the deluxe thing. So I think as a community, we thought that would be more of a title they would throw around, even though they only did it twice, I think, for Pikmin and Mario Kart. And now that we know what a Switch 2 edition is, we can actually start figuring out what that means for Smash, because some Switch 2 editions are simply upgraded visuals and stuff. And then some Switch 2 editions are that plus like actual DLC. Maybe Smash could fit into that if it is a deluxe. I don't know. I really don't know. I don't think it's going to be. I think it would be its own thing, especially. I don't know. It's so hard to say.
It's hard to say because we're.
But now it's not a deluxe. Nintendo. Sorry to interrupt, but one last thing. Now that we know it, it's not just like a broad thing. It can mean anything. A Switch 2 edition can be a simple upgrade, or it can be a whole new game. But yeah, go ahead, Charles. Like that's basically what I'm getting at. Is now that we know that, it helps a lot with predicting Smash.
Yeah, and it's just so hard to say because, yeah, they didn't announce a Switch 2 version of Smash, which would essentially be the quote-unquote deluxe that we've been predicting this whole entire time. But just because they didn't announce it the last Direct doesn't mean it can't get announced the next Direct.
Yeah.
That's another thing I want everyone to be aware of as well. It's like, we're trying to predict Nintendo, and Nintendo will, like, there's been times in the past where Nintendo has made the decision to, like, sacrifice making money to do things their way. And it's like, it's very clear that company operates like that. Not in every single scenario, but essentially you can't just run the numbers and be like, oh, okay. Like technically, actually, Nintendo will do this because that's the most beneficial for their company. Like they're innovators. They're in the lead and they lead the way in the industry that they're a part of. Right. So whenever a company's in that position, we've seen how Nintendo operates in that position too, especially after they kind of climb to the top, right? And then after that, it's like they could reduce the roster down. They could revamp Smash. Who knows? Like because even like the changes to World, like it's still racing and stuff, but you can tell that they're still trying to innovate a game like Mario Kart,
which
you would look at it and be like, okay, well, you race around a track. They make more tracks.
You can only
bring
do
in
so
more
much,
racers.
Yeah.
Right. Like to most people, you might think that that's some kind of limitation. But I think something that Nintendo has always done in the gaming industry, just in the industry in general, but also within games, because like now the whole free roam thing, like that sounds super cool, interesting, right? And
the grinding and the wall jumping and shit, like it's
just
pretty
look
crazy.
Look back at the Wii, just motion sensor. Like back then, that was crazy. I mean, most of the listeners or viewers might have not been around or like growing up during that time.
They probably
that
did
shit
grow up with
was,
Wii, but yeah.
Well, okay, right, but like. Yeah, you're probably right. But yeah, I mean, essentially,
we grew up with like the before that, but
right, like yeah. So like our age group or whatever is like 64 GameCube.
Well, I still grew up with the Wii, but like
yeah. But it's just Nintendo innovates in a lot of ways, right? Yeah. And then obviously, like the Switch was a crazy innovation because they took usually Nintendo had a handheld system and then a console, and then they combined the two, which is crazy. And like I can't think of how PlayStation or Xbox even competes with that, with how good that product is. It's so hard to beat that product in an innovative way that I wouldn't be surprised if PlayStation and Xbox kind of move towards that direction. Like, I don't even know if they can legally do that or whatever, but like, it's so hard to, like, TLDR, it's just really hard to predict Nintendo. And if you want, like, I would love a new roster, because to me, the only way you keep this humongous roster and you get all these newer characters is all of these characters stay outdated. They're going to do the same shit. And like, bro,
it's nerve wracking for sure.
Yeah. It's like for me as someone, as a veteran, I wouldn't mind a fucking Thanos snap, but every character in the game is completely revamped. Maybe we even get some new mechanics. Like I personally
need both,
wouldn't
though.
Right. But I don't know if Nintendo's going to put the resource, like they definitely could do both. But how long would it take them to do both is my big question. And when did they start? Yeah. So, I mean, I don't think they have to rush Smash, and I hope they don't. Like, I want them to put a lot of time into the game. And even if it takes like 3 years from now, you know, and like we have the Switch 2 and it's like 3 years into the Switch 2 lifespan. If we get a like this golden egg of, okay, we kept all the Ultimate characters, they're all revamped, or like 50% or 60% of them are revamped.
Yeah, whoever.
Yeah. Like the older characters got revamped, like Brawl, older, however they want to do it, right?
Yeah.
These characters got revamped, and then we're also bringing in new characters. I would love to have everything, but I'm very curious if we're going to have everything.
I had a thought. Yeah. You know how they have, like, it's the regular Switch games on the Switch 2, but they get like a little upgrade? I was like, what if we get that?
Visually or the DLC?
No, just or the DLC, whatever. Like, okay. You know what I mean? Like, you buy a Switch 1 game on the Switch 2, and it's supposed to have extra shit. Yeah. I was like, what if they do characters like that? Like, there's classic Mario, who's like the Smash Mario, but then you can like toggle and switch and get like a new age Mario who has a new move kit. So you don't lose the old one, but you get this new one too. Like, I was kind of thinking, I don't know. I had the thought the other day.
It's a brief start. I don't think they would do it, but I mean, people are talking about this with Donkey Kong a lot already. I feel like he's the easiest one to consider for this idea at the moment. I don't know. Like I said, we have so much information now that it feels harder to speculate weirdly than it did before. What Charles mentions is really important, like how long has it been in development, if at all. And I think there will be a curveball that will surprise people. My theory is that it is in development, and it's been in development for at least a year.
Guaranteed.
And that people will be surprised when they see it, because they think, oh, Sakurai's making Kirby Air Ride, and they delete Smash from their memory for the time being, because they think that they're at square one with Smash. And I think the curveball will be that they're definitely not at square one. The question is just, how much involvement does Sakurai have, if at all? So I think people will be pleasantly surprised when they see Smash sooner than later, because, like I said, they're not expecting it currently, because Sakurai's name was just plastered on the Direct and it wasn't for Smash. That's how I personally feel. I can just really see that happening. Like, in my head, it's already playing out, where a presentation happens, we see Smash, and everyone's just jaw dropped because they aren't considering it, which is hilarious because it's what sells systems, right? So they should be considering it. But because of the circumstances, at the moment, they're not considering it. And it just sounds like a perfect curveball for Nintendo, where obviously it's going to happen, but at the moment, people aren't thinking that.
Yeah, and I can't wait till they announce my name, my main, the wheelchair dude from Dragon Tribe.
Yes, bro, sir. Me and Aaron unironically want to play that game.
Yeah. Hey.
We're going to grind. Yeah.
Is it 3v3 or is it?
You on the team? I actually don't know. 3v3 sounds right.
Wait, we need to do Tweak Talks versus Lights Out in that game then.
Yes.
What? All right. Be free.
All right, Charles, you're subbed in.
Yeah, actually, me and you, Charles. One of us be the coach.
We have a coach and stuff.
Yeah, okay, coach. Got it.
B is the coach.
Hey, shout out to Lights Out. They won a pair of tournaments this weekend.
They did.
They would lose to us in that game, but they did win some Smash tournaments, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Cosmos doing well recently.
Wait, they lose us in Smash too. What?
True.
Badly.
Man, I'm pretty shit.
Wait, what's the Lights Out?
We need some confidence.
Would it be 3v3?
We'd have to 3v3.
We'd win.
Shit. We might have to set this up.
What? If it's 3v3 without me, you guys win.
If Phil's the anchor, we're screwed.
Yeah.
If they have to play Phil and we don't have to play me, we auto win.
That Falcon is too nasty, bro. Hey. They got a stock on Leo.
Stop, though. We're encouraging this behavior.
The anchor.
The big anchor, dude. Man.
Big angst, man.
I love those guys. Great podcast. Wow, speaking of great podcasts, this was a lot of fun. We did not talk about the tournaments I wanted to. I do really quick want to shout out my guy, Aiken. Diamond Dust was a cool tournament. It was a lot of long game fives. Like, it was a very much felt like an endurance test for a lot of players, which we saw Shiny Mark in there again, which, again, he came very close to winning the tournament, but then he got 3-0'd ultimately by Onan. So a good tournament overall. Aiken had many game fives. Did you guys see Zheja versus Aiken?
I saw the clip, but I didn't know.
Just one clip. Dude, because, you know, me, I'll go back and I'll watch the VODs of all the Shoto players or all the fighting game players. I'll watch most of them, especially Aiken. That's my guy. I love him. And that was painful. He tried me Sword Fighter at one point. That's how bad it got.
Oh, fuck.
He literally got chewed at it. Like, he literally, Zheja went to the ledge and just kept re-grabbing and kept mixing up. Like, am I going to up to the ledge, or am I going to go over, or am I just going to re-grab? Like, then there was the risk reward infinitely in Kirby's favor. Like,
it is interactive gameplay.
I'm about to do that to you next time we play.
I go Belmont it's against Donkey Kirby. Kong. I've learned that.
Yeah, as do you.
Oh,
I hate when Donkey Kong players plank, man. It's so annoying. Like, what do you do? Yeah,
willingly going
jump below it too, without invincibility regrab.
Yeah, I'm just gonna go over here. You're welcome.
And I like that tournament, Diamond Dust. I said it on Twitter. I think the art for that tournament is amazing. So shout out that artist. Shout out to Loaf, who lost to Aiken because Waff set the wrong way, basically, which was an L.
Sometimes it happens with some of the confirms too, where you just have to guess their DI. So
Yeah.
I've seen Gluto do it many times. I've done it many times. Wario fucking sucks.
This just in, everyone. Wario sucks.
It was good. I mean, we missed the week before. Out showed up. Cosmos has been doing well for the last 2 weeks. He's back. Got a lot of good wins.
Yep.
The only thing that I like, I don't really care to talk too much about it, but I do want people to like really think about it. With Yara getting top 8 at this event, bro hasn't competed at an event in over almost a year, and was
wow, like it's been a, that long already.
Yeah, because oh, yeah. April, right? And his last event was like in May or something like that. And wow. He was a top 20. I think he might have been top 15 at in 2024 when he got ranked in the first half. And like we say it all the time, but I think that's like a perfect example of one person entering an event really changes the entire bracket.
Yeah.
Like significantly.
It definitely can.
And it's interesting to see it like happen in real time where if bro is not at that event, like one, the seeding probably changes, maybe not too much, but two, like Ashimo makes top 8 winners because he's not playing Yara for top 8. So
Yara got
like,
third.
I don't remember
bro. Third or fourth. In, yeah.
Something like that. Like that. I don't know, man. I think people, and that's why we're so like, we're harping so much on Kyogre. We've been like trying to make sure all these people get there. Cause like, if Syrup goes, the entire bracket changes. It does.
Yeah. Just, mm-hmm.
That is a very large potential top 8 spot. But they're on that way to top 8, they're also eliminating people and putting people in losers. So I don't know. It's cool to see it happen again with someone who we haven't seen in like a year, especially when people be like, they're gone too long. If they came back now, they'd be trash. Like, bro's been gone a year. Just top 8 for fun. Okay.
He's looking nasty, too.
Those looking clean.
Yeah. He was like, all right, well, I hope you guys remember this matchup. It's been a year. But also very inspirational. Taking a break for that long and coming back and having those results, I think, is if you do that in any type of competition, I know, like, the first thing I think of is automatically, like, StarCraft. Brood War players, or I mean, just I guess Korean pros in any video game where they have to do their military service. So they have to take a big break. And usually after a pro would come back from their military break, they try to get back into the pro scene and it's pretty tough, right? Like the meta has evolved and things like that. So to watch someone like Yara take that long of a break and come back and get results like this is extremely impressive. I'm very curious if he was at least like dabbling in the game while he was taking a break. Obviously he didn't go to competitions, but
I wouldn't be able to help you with that.
But very clean with it regardless. So it was cool to see.
Shouts to Mia winning as well, obviously. It was one of those things where once he got far enough, it's going to be hard to stop him from getting first. Like once he gets into like semis, finals, especially winner side grands, like.
Oh, it's the wraps. It's wraps. Yeah.
He got it. Like he's not going to let that go. Once again, like a lot of just like regional things within NA, and I think that's becoming our thing, where we're just really trying to like have a concise like regional for our respective regions, like once a month at least, which is really nice. I think it's nice. On Saturday, we are recording this on Tuesday. Y'all will be seeing and hearing it on Wednesday. On Saturday, I have a regional. It's pretty big, especially now that Light's coming.
Is it Roundtable?
Scarlet Classic. Basically.
Yeah, one of the.
Yeah. And like you said, like Light showing up changes everything.
Yep.
Like something like that changes the bracket, or DeBuzz showing up, and it changes everything. And it sometimes even statistically, like just makes it a more valuable event for rankings and stuff. So it's a big deal, and trying to have this stuff regularly is nice. And I think that about does it for today. Once again, we do a bunch of bonus content on Patreon, patreon.com/tweaktalks. I do lots of VOD review, sometimes my losses and wins, sometimes just sets I'm interested in. We do bonus topics and content. Sometimes we answer questions from patrons. We have a few questions we might get to over the next week or two. And yeah, thank you so much for supporting the show as always, and have a good one.